This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The first hour, we kind of plan things out. You're going to do a Friday show. Friday shows on our for the Annie Fry show, usually a little bit more fun, a little more laid back. And then World Peace just decides to take a minute. And you got to cover it. You got to talk about it. We aired in the beginning of the show in that first segment, the entire exchange between among Zelensky, Trump, and J.D. Vance that took place in the Oval Office. And I want to give us, we haven't really broken down what we heard. If you were listening at the beginning of the show, you got to hear that. If you go listen to the podcast, it will be there. If you're streaming us, you can also go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and scroll back. You can watch it with us as we watch it. A couple of the things that stick out to me from that exchange is how resolute President Trump and J.D. Vance were together. They were a tag team. At one point, I thought J.D. Vance is talking a lot. Donald Trump was sitting there and he's sitting in between these two men and he was listening. You know how Donald Trump, he was looking at the floor. He wasn't looking at J.D. Vance. He wasn't looking at Zelensky. He was kind of looking at the floor, and leaned forward, somewhat engaged physically in the conversation. And he does this thing where, you know, he'll have his eyebrows up and he's not... He can affirm with head nods and stuff non-verbally when he's listening to people talk or whatever. But there aren't very many times that I can think of ever seeing Donald Trump in a room of this magnitude. It's the Oval Office, for heaven's sake, between Zelensky and J.D. Vance. And watching a conversation take place in front of him. That does not happen where he is a listening party. He leads every conversation. He leads every handshake. He dictates when it starts and when it ends. He is a power play 100% of the time. But he actually pulled back and let J.D. Vance say to Zelensky, you know, you're coming here and you're not in a position to smack the United States around, specifically in the Oval Office. And what he was really doing, in my opinion, J.D. Vance was really standing in to defend the honor of Donald Trump in a way that if Donald Trump had said it himself, it would just look, you know, bombastic and egotistical. But he's the president of the United States. He's Donald Trump. And we're used to that. But having J.D. Vance do that and, you know, kind of honor the actual physical location where they are sitting, the country that they are sitting in, what the United States is willing to do, and basically honoring Donald Trump by stepping in to say this. And Zelensky says to J.D. Vance, can I ask you a question? So Zelensky actually puts J.D. Vance on the spot, and he says to J.D. Vance, who are you? Have you ever been to Ukraine? Who are you to tell us about our troubles? Well, guess what, Mr. President Zelensky? I have not been to Ukraine, but you have still taken a few pennies from my paycheck in order to fund what's going on in your country. And people are dying in the midst of it. Yes, I'm sure you're aware of it. But to suggest that the vice president of the United States in our great Oval Office, in the great White House, in our nation's capital, He diminished everything that J.D. Vance had to say there because J.D. Vance had not visited Ukraine to Zelensky's approval and essentially said, if you haven't been there, you sit down and be quiet. To me, that's when I was like, you're cooked. You're absolutely cooked. And then he says to J.D., Zelensky says to J.D. Vance, like, referred to him as talking very loudly, and Trump's back in the game. So you got J.D. Vance sitting there defending the honor of the president of the United States to his immediate right in the Oval Office to Zelensky, who has taken so much of our money and our general goodwill, used it to try to defend their country or whatever. We don't really know the details. And as soon as Zelensky insults the vice president of the United States, sitting right next to the president of the United States, President Donald Trump steps back in and says, here's how this is going to go.
It really was. It was political theater, but it wasn't. I don't think it was intended to be theater, unless Zelensky intended it. I don't think the president, the vice president, walked in there and said, let's make a show today. They were just having a meeting. They were going to do a press conference later. They had to cancel that because it ended up being a press conference.
Doesn't it mean more in the event that it wasn't like, let's make a show today, that this is how they function?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is the stuff that you would picture going on behind the scenes a lot. You never know. But you would picture that this is the intense negotiation. The problem is Zelensky came into that meeting firing shots. He was criticizing the United States under Obama, oddly, for, he said, well, you haven't done diplomacy. They took Crimea from us. And that was under Obama.
Uh-huh.
But this administration, oddly, J.D. Vance in particular, I think, took offense and said, did you just come in here to do this? This is why you're sitting down with us right now? It seemed to me that Zelensky has no idea his place in these negotiations. And that Trump saw that and was pretty mad about it because he realized this is actually going to be harder to get a peace deal done because this guy doesn't know his place in the negotiation.
I don't know if your kids are old enough for this yet. You're going along. You have a great day at work. The morning, getting the kids off to school, man, that's a 50-50. Did it go well or was it a disaster? You get the kids out of the door. They all get to school. Nobody's crying or yelling at each other. That's a good day. That's a great start to the day. Today, we had to be in a million places. Jensen was supposed to go to an honor roll breakfast. Completely forgot that even happened. She missed it. So we screwed that up. Jared, who's delivering kids all over God's green earth in the morning, took Molly, our three-year-old, out to his parents who watch her on Friday. Didn't bring shoes for her. Charlie goes to school, forgets the book he's supposed to be reading in fourth hour or whatever. It's just like crap. Just a crap day. That's how some mornings start. Other mornings, uneventful. You get out the door. Everything's good. You go to work. You have a fine day. You come home and you're thinking, it's Friday. It's a good day. We get a weekend. Everything's fine. Everybody should get in a good mood. And then your kid comes home and they throw their bag in the corner and they like don't look at you. And if they look at you, it hurts to see their facial expression because they're shooting daggers. And you're like, what's with them? Like, where is this coming from? This is totally unnecessary. We were poised to have a really good Friday afternoon to kick off a great weekend. What the heck is going on? Zelensky came in the Oval Office and threw his book bag in the corner. What the heck, dude? It didn't have to be this way. Don't you understand? And I mean, in the same position, you know, my children are dependent on me for a few things in life, which I provide lovingly, sacrificially, but happily because I love my kids. The relationship between Zelensky and Trump might be a little bit different. Between Ukraine and the United States might be a little bit different. But it does seem to me that there is a dependency that exists there and a reliance that is necessary in order for peace to take place. And Zelensky, you should have put your book bag on the hook and sat down and waited to be spoken to and listened to how the United States can bring peace to your people. And it seems as though he wasn't interested in that. Brad, what were your thoughts on it?
Man, I loved what I saw there because, one, whenever Zelensky fired back at J.D. Vance after J.D. Vance said his initial comments, J.D. Vance didn't back down. He didn't raise his voice. He just responded correctly and firmly. He wasn't afraid of what Zelensky had to offer. It tells me that maybe Zelensky was used to kind of pushing around American diplomats in the past 4 years, that he would get in with like Blinken and those guys and be like, hey, you don't know what it's like, so you got to give me this money. He has an entitled mentality. He's like, he's entitled to American money, defend his country. He's bought into all of the media hype that Ukraine is literally on the front line of democracy. I don't believe that. I believe Russia's actions in Ukraine are wrong. They're heinous. They're terrible. I believe that. But I don't believe that Ukraine is literally fighting for democracy. I don't believe Ukraine has a right to American treasure. I don't believe Ukraine has a right to American troops. But a lot of what I'm hearing from the other side is that if the United States doesn't give Zelensky what he wants, then Russia wins and Russia has to be defeated completely. And what actually will happen is Russia will grind Ukraine into nothing. This is a war of attrition where body counts matter and body counts pile up. And Russia is a huge, huge country with lots more bodies, with a lot less respect for people than Ukraine has. And they will grind that little country to a pulp just because somebody doesn't want to negotiate a peace. That's terrible. So what I'm seeing Trump do is trying to stop that. Now, you brought this up a little bit earlier, Annie. American workers in Ukraine, that's the security guarantee that Ukraine wants, because people don't want to get Americans involved in war. Russia doesn't want to fight the United States. They don't. But also, the United States really isn't interested in fighting Russia. But if we put our troops there, not our troops, but our workers there, and a worker gets killed, you can bet that the United States will be in there and things will stop. So you get American workers in there to mine those minerals, to invest in that. And then the other thing is, too, once you get a ceasefire, then you start negotiating to get your land back and try to figure out how we can sort this out.
I don't think the land's going back.
I don't think it is either, but
I don't think that's part of it.
You can't, like, unless you want World War III and NATO and everybody fighting Russia and then in turn probably fighting China, you have to secede something. You have to give up something, as wrong as it was for Russia to go into Ukraine to begin with.
This is really interesting. So we know that the reports are now that Zelensky was told to leave the White House. He got bounced from the White House. But according to Eric Daugherty on X, he is an assistant news director for Florida Voice News. He's on a lot of news news stories as breaking news. He says, breaking, it's official. Trump kicked Zelensky out of the White House. Official says, quote, Ukrainians were begging to reset, end quote. But Marco Rubio and Mike Waltz told them Zelensky must leave the White House and return when ready for peace, Fox reports. Trump reportedly disrespected by Zelensky's demeanor of shrugging and rolling his eyes. So in that moment right there, what we're seeing is, you know, Donald Trump, the Zelensky's plane didn't pull up to the White House and take him back to Ukraine. Here's another interesting tweet that I've seen here, post, I should say, on X. I'm trying so hard, Elon, I'm trying. Nicholas Hand on X said, must watch interview tonight if it still takes place. On Fox News, they've been promoting on Brett Baier's show tonight that Zelensky is the key interview. Zelensky is supposed to be on Brett Baier's show. 8 minutes ago, Brett Baier posted on Fox News, still on schedule.
Okay.
That hasn't been canceled. Eric Schmidt, your Missouri senator, posts, pay attention to who defends Zelensky and who defends America. That sums up the moment. That sums up this situation that we're in right now. Everybody, this gives me goosebumps, because this is so fascinating to watch, because the outcome, the stakes are super high for Ukraine and for Russia, but also for the American ability to get the job done, the America First mentality that actually will end up benefiting the whole world, because Donald Trump has resolve in protecting this country and not bending anything, because you want it to look good on the surface. But I've seen people on our YouTube chat going, this is just absolutely terrible for American diplomacy. Give me a flipping break. To see that there is a new sheriff in town who has a purpose and a plan and a laser point focus about what is good for the American people. It is not Donald Trump's job to do what's best for the Ukrainian people. That's Zelensky's job. And he was sitting in that room just now with the opportunity to bring peace to his people. And Donald Trump did not compromise the American people because Zelensky said he wants more. He didn't do it. And he wasn't afraid to do it in front of the people whom he serves. Donald Trump isn't unafraid to show the American people what he advocates for and why he advocates for it. He knows that Americans have skin in this game to a great, great extent. America doesn't owe these people anything. And in fact, they've been impossibly generous already. And if you ask Donald Trump, because of the stupid president that we had before, his words on Joe Biden in that exchange were pretty straightforward. We got to see Donald Trump in action advocate for the American people. And everybody gets to see that. Nobody, you know, you can put it on the left-leaning news outlets that nobody watches anymore. Actually, tons of people watch it when conservative influencers share the clips.
It's true.
It's true. I try not to like fall face first into that, but that's the only time I ever see them is after they've been pieced apart and put on X. What we are going to see is those who hate Donald Trump and the end game of whatever they post, the end game of whatever they share or whatever they say, has to, at the end, disparage Donald Trump. I don't think that you can disparage Donald Trump here without putting America at the back of the line. I think that's inseparable at this point. It is so clear, and I don't know why you would need to even have this pointed out to you this late in the game in February of 2025. We're almost to March tomorrow. All the left cares about is appearances, because that's what lends itself to politics, because that's what they think they need to do to win elections. But it turns out that's not enough. The American people want substance. The American people want receipts. The American people want resolve. They want proof. And they're not as dumb as the Democrats need them to be to sit around and you know, have the Joe Biden. Didn't he literally fall asleep in some of these little conversations in the Oval Office? He literally would take a snooze in those meetings because he wasn't the one doing the work. He wasn't the one doing the job. Americans get that now. Americans know that now. Not only did we not used to see the sausage being made, we didn't even know who was making the sausage. I don't even know if Joe Biden knows who is making the sausage. Americans get to see it right now. And what you're going to see, to Eric Schmidt's point on X, pay attention today to who defends Zelensky and who defends America. Where do your interests lie? Anybody who's using this as an opportunity to dunk on the president of the United States, I question if they even love America. And it might not be the first time that I would question that on those individuals' parts. Give us your comments. Our YouTube poll for today, have I even said this yet?
I don't know. I have.
YouTube live chat poll for today on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Do you trust Donald Trump to handle Vladimir Putin? Yes or no? This meant something very different when I put this up at about 11:35 a.m. All of this was starting to go down just right after I posted it. Do you trust Donald Trump to handle Vladimir Putin? Yes or no? Love to get your thoughts on this one. If you go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel, subscribe. If you go right now and you're going for the first time, subscribe to the channel right away, because within 5 minutes of subscribing, you can then comment on the channel. And what we have coming up next is a little next question, which is our Ask Us Anything segment. You send us questions, we'll answer them. It could be about politics. It could be about this. It could be about anything. It could be fun. It could be silly. We want to know from you what you'd like to know from us. And we'll ask some fun questions in the midst of it as well. Also, you can vote in the live chat portion where you make those comments on that poll question and tell us if you trust Donald Trump to handle Vladimir Putin. Hot day, hot news day here on The Annie Fry Show and 97.1 FM Talk. We're so glad you're here. We'll be right back.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know.
Yeah, I just went up to the press area to get an understanding of what we're watching. This is what I was told. The president has kicked Zelensky out of the White House. His delegation right now is telling him that he's got to go home. The president felt disrespected. Officials in the room felt that beyond the language barrier that we've heard some discussion about, Zelensky's body language, shrugging and eye rolling, was ungrateful, disrespectful. And the president feels that Zelensky is not ready for peace, and he can come back when he's ready to talk about peace, but he's not in that position right now, and Zelensky is being told he's got to go. The lunch that they were supposed to have is sitting right outside the hallway, and the press staffers are going to be eating that lunch. This is really pretty incredible. We see the SUV.
Zelensky's SUV.
The White House staffers are eating Zelensky's lunch.
That's the kind of reporting I would do.
Oh.
What about the food?
I'm here
Mr.
live
President?
In the White House right now eating President Zelensky's lunch right now. Looks like it was ham and cheese on rye.
Was there any hot food, Mr. President? And is there any left over? Is it still hot?
Who is that guy? Well, that's
Gary Voigt.
Gary Voigt.
Gary Voigt, St. Louis.
It's
wild, isn't it?
I know, and I hesitate to in my mind like game out what I think is going to happen next. Because again, I just keep thinking of parenting. It's all I know, people. You ever? Let's see here. All my kids are in school right now. Have you ever made like dramatic threats to your kids and you don't mean it at all, but you got to play it all the way through?
No, I don't. I know who does, though.
Who?
I got to balance that out a little bit.
Do you and your wife? Let's. This is gonna be my first Ask Me Anything. Go.
Okay, here we go.
I'm gonna turn this into right. The next question here.
Next question.
Question.
It's a legitimate question.
Next question.
Next question, please.
Next question on the Annie Fry Show.
So, for the parents in the room, Ryan, I can answer this myself probably if you want me to, but as a parent, do you have strict kind of roles that you play when it comes to parenting? Is there the good cop and is there the bad cop? Does it depend on the day? Does it depend on the kid? Does it depend on your mood?
Yes.
Does it depend on who was first to the crime scene?
Oh, yeah. All of those things are true.
Tell me how it works.
It never is the same per situation. Most of the time, one of us is the bad cop and the other one's the good cop.
Do you have like baseball signals to each other?
No, no. You can just, can tell. You know exactly what's going on in that room.
Oh.
I can tell if she's had enough, and then I'll be the one who's like, it's all right. Hey, let's calm. Not to her, but to the kids.
Like, no, hey, that's not a good idea.
You know,
you need to calm down.
Kids, you need to pay attention right now. Mom is upset or whatever. Like that does happen. And then the reverse is true. Sometimes I'll be really mad about something and she'll play a good cop. So that's easy. It's the other things that we got to figure out. But I will tell you one thing I've noticed that we never had this discussion really, I don't think, that I can remember, that if she ever issues a punishment to the kids or a kid, I never rescind that punishment.
Oh, no, you can't.
You can't.
No.
You have to present a united front. So even if you're like, I don't really agree with the
like
way
you're not
we
playing,
did that.
You're not going to your soccer game tonight.
Right. You don't go.
And if you're thinking like, all right, Mom, that was a little extreme. I think he really should go. Is there something else we can do? That is a completely and totally private conversation between parents.
Yeah, you go have it and then you come back.
And then the person who pulls it back has to be the person who assessed the punishment.
Yep. Yeah, because if you don't do that, then your kids start going, well, I'm going to go ask Dad about this one. I'm going to go ask Mom about this one. And that still happens. I'm not saying that never happens, because they know Dad's a little more lenient on this. Mom's a little more lenient
on this.
Did you
play your parents?
I don't remember really doing that, no. Did you?
I tried. This isn't very effective.
I might have. I just don't remember doing that.
Did you?
I tried. It wasn't very effective.
So when Ryan, do you snap? Do your kids ever push you to snap?
Once in a great while, but it's gotten to where now I really see it coming and I'm like, nah, I'm going to walk away.
When you snap or if you're about to snap, is it because of the day that you had or is it because of what the kids did?
It's both.
Yeah.
It's usually that my thermometer's already gotten kind of high from something else. And then a lot of times, though, it's that they've gotten my thermometer high from something else they've been doing.
Like the thing to push you over the edge wasn't necessarily the worst and the most, but it's the final.
It's the final, and it's probably a bunch of breadcrumbs that have gotten us there. Because it's usually like a bigger thing.
How quickly do you go from, you know, parenting, disciplinarian, or, you know, you like to have a lot of, listen, kids, these are the boundaries that we have set for you, and I know you need me apparently right now to remind you of them, so here I am reminding you of them, to regrettable.
Phrase that again?
From identifying that you are pushing boundaries, child, how quickly do you go from that parental just bring them back to the center, bring them back to where they're reminded of what they need to be doing, how quickly can you go from that to I regret my behavior?
Slow.
It's a slow process.
Yeah,
it's
I don't get there quick. I really, as I've gotten older, I think I'm a little more mellow.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when the kids start to get older, you start to take the reins off a little bit too. You don't have to be so tight about it.
Well, everything. The boundaries change.
Yeah.
For me, it really depends on what the infraction is. But if this is the 72nd time that we've had this conversation.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
And it's not like.
That drives me crazy.
Not today, but like. if it's. I was talking today about how my son forgot his book for school. That's not something that he does very often. So I'm happy to go get the book and bring it to him. He, you know, I've forgotten power cords here at work, and you guys help me out with trying to make sure that my computer, so yeah, things like that happen. But if he's forgetting stuff all of the time, then I have no patience for repeated. You can make any mistake almost once, but please do not make it 72 times, because I don't have patience for that.
I don't either, and I can't. Every time I get impatient with an issue like that, though, I hear the voice of my father saying something like, how many times have I told you about what, you know, fill in the blank?
Do your parents?
Earthly father.
I thought you were talking about Bob.
No, not talking about Bob.
Do you, were you a good kid? You were a good kid.
Yeah.
Like, did any of you ever, like, hear from your parents, like, I hope you have to deal with someone just like you?
Mm-hmm.
No, I heard the reverse of that, though. I heard the reverse, which was, when you deal with this, you're going to realize what I felt when I saw you do that thing for the first time, like in the positive.
Oh, like a kid's first, like, pride.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all positive reinforcement in my household, Annie.
I definitely have a mini-me. And my husband definitely has a mini-him, only that mini is now bigger than he is. Not to identify which one it is by any stretch, but it's...
He just did.
It's very amazing to see that, and also humbling in bittersweet ways.
Mm-hmm.
You're like,
totally.
Oh my God, that is so annoying that you're doing that. Where did you learn that? And then you'll be just going through life and you will do the exact same thing that you wanted to wring your kid's neck for doing before, and you're like, God dang it. Oh! Next question, Brad, you got one?
Yeah, so this is a little bit off the parenting thing, but what is the smallest... So right now in your current life situation, what is the smallest amount of money that would be life-changing for you?
Life changing.
I think probably 16 or 17 bucks would get me a poke bowl, and I didn't have one today. That would change my day.
It'd change my life.
Me and Trisha, who's on the show every Thursday, have been talking about getting poke bowls all week.
And you know my dad just said?
We never got them.
I'm gonna text from my dad that says, "Me and Trisha?" Question mark.
My friend Trisha and myself.
No.
No.
say it
better.
Say anyway. It without Trisha.
Trisha and Ryan.
Yeah, that's too good. Just stop you. I don't remember what your point was. Trisha
Pokeballs.
And I were getting Pokeballs?
Mm-hmm. Pokeballs.
I don't know. It's hard to determine what life-changing is. Nick just sent $1.99 super chat. That'll do. I don't know. I'm thinking about the amount of money that I pay in tuition for my child to go to high school and for my other girls to go to a Lutheran school. And, you know, that's a significant focus that we have, that not having to pay for that would be big. So, I don't know, $5,000.
Okay.
Quick risk. Rick asks, what is a poke bowl? Anybody want to answer that?
Remember yesterday's Wiggins America, what was they stay on topic? Answer the question.
What?
He asked a question. Answer it.
I did. I said $16.
That's not a real answer.
Yes, it is. That would change my life today.
It would not change your life today. A poke bowl would not change your life today.
Okay, fine. $3.7 billion.
Who do you think you are, Zelensky?
You know what?
That's, get out of here.
That's one question I would have liked to seen them ask today.
That's the smallest amount.
All right. Since you're not going to answer the question seriously, Brad, answer your own question.
Man, I
seriously.
Looked at this from several different ways, and I think it's about $100,000, because that would allow me to pay off my house and some of the other debts that I have and be free and clear debt free. So that would be life changing for me, because then we could adjust what we're doing as far as spending and saving habits.
That
and,
would also be life changing for me, $100,000.
I would accept $125,000.
That's not how this works. Ender and Scooter together explain poke bowls correctly. They are Pokemon that are fish-like, and Quick Rick adds pudding. Yes.
Yes.
Quick break. Send your questions to the Annie Fry Show YouTube channel. We'll answer some more of your questions here. Well, Brad and I will. Ryan will screw around. That's why you're here anyway, isn't it? We'll be right back. Don't go away. Mushroom deadly. When I play a dope melody, anything less than the best is a felony. Love it or leave it. You better gain weight. You better hit bulls out of kid. Don't play. Never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We're doing a little next question here right now on the Annie Fry Show. This is your chance to get on the YouTube chat and throw some questions in the mix, and we will answer them as honestly or completely as we possibly can. George's question from the YouTube first before we get to some more of ours. Ask me anything. Do you think there will be more Epstein files released, and will it be more information? Ryan, if this is about Poke Bowls.
Oh, man, I had a great joke queued up right before we went to break. No, I'll answer the question. I don't think so. I think what they had has been deleted on purpose. So I don't know that we're going to get anything new.
Just a little interjection there. On the Road Again, great song. Ethan says in our private chat, this one goes out to Zelensky.
That's also a good joke. Ethan, great job. Thank you for your contribution.
Couldn't leave that one just for us. That's for you people. Brad, more files, Epstein files, more information to be had?
Maybe, but nothing groundbreaking. There is zero chance, in my opinion, that anybody that was trying to defend those powerful people that we talked about yesterday, there's zero chance that those that were in the FBI had that for 4 years, knowing that the possibility of a Trump return would come and that those files could come out. There's no way that they left them there. So what's left is probably the stuff for the Ghislaine Maxwell appeals. And then after that, everything else is, it's gone, it's shredded. It was an accident, it got deleted, the files got corrupted, whatever it is. There's no way they're going to let that stuff come out.
I disagree. I think that we will get it. I think that there are people who have, if those files don't exist, there are people who have seen them who will, under the right deal, want the truth to come out. We heard yesterday, was it with Hans, who said there's probably not legal challenges that can come out of this anyway. So really what you're just getting to is the truth. I think that getting the truth out on the Epstein files was a major commitment from the Trump administration. And I think that the reason why that type of information hasn't been held is because the deep state, the swamp, has existed for so long so comfortably. I bet you they got sloppy. I bet you there are people who are a party to this who know how powerful what they know and have, how powerful that actually is. And I think that the right people are in charge to potentially extract that information. Will we ever get the full story? I don't know. But I, to the question, do you think there will be more Epstein files released and will it be more information? Emphatic yes. Next question, Ryan.
Based on what we saw today in the Oval Office, what did you learn about the relationship between Trump and J.D. Vance?
Okay, I learned that they are in lockstep. And
they're going to say love.
They are in lockstep.
There is very little, if any, disagreement between the two, and they are solely focused on their goal of making America great again.
I saw trust. The leader of the free world doesn't just allow somebody to step into a meeting like that and kind of take it over at the beginning, like Vance did, without being very, very trusting of each other. Can you imagine that kind of meeting? I mean, I can't imagine it anyway, but if it happened, can you imagine Kamala Harris and Joe Biden sitting there doing that?
Marco Rubio posted on X 9 minutes ago, thank you, POTUS, for standing up for America in a way that no president has ever had the courage to do before. Thank you for putting America first. America is with you. What was the question? It was specifically the J.D. Vance-Trump relationship?
Yeah, what did you learn from watching that?
I actually think what I learned is that Donald Trump shows restraint. That he understands the value of more voices than just his. I've known that. I think a lot of us have known that because he surrounds himself with whip-smart, brilliant people who know things that he doesn't. But I am not used to Donald Trump. This is kind of what I was saying at the beginning of all this. I'm not really used to watching him surrender any inch of the stage. And it was actually powerful to see J.D. Vance in that moment. Because honestly, we don't see J.D. Vance very much. Elon Musk is like the de facto vice president. It looks like, I think, what most people think of the vice president. Elon Musk is the second most talked about name in this administration behind Donald Trump. He's out there dozing and doing his thing, and he loves the spotlight. J.D. Vance has not been in the spotlight since this presidency has started. My assumption, my guess, is that J.D. Vance's job is to get Congress in line, to make sure that the Senate and the House are ready to make law the executive orders that Donald Trump has put in place, and to be very, very persuasive in that regard. That's a behind-the-scenes thing. That's fine for a vice president. That's traditionally where vice presidents actually function. I was impressed that he was sitting in that room at the same time, and I was incredibly impressed that Donald Trump let him speak, and I loved watching Donald Trump say, all right, J.D. Vance, you've spoken, and he agreed with everything. He backed J.D. Vance up in every sentence that he spoke, and he defended specifically, not just America, not just our interests, but he specifically defended J.D. Vance when Zelensky very petulantly referred to J.D. Vance's tone as talking very loudly, like saying things louder was going to make them more true. Trump had had enough, and he stepped back in, and he took the wheel, and it's a masterclass in how to handle a situation and using more voices to make your point without having to be the person who's talking all the time and sucking up the oxygen in the room. I think it's great. We don't see them working together in a like a policy capacity, in a government capacity, in a dunking or awesome capacity. Yeah, you see that.
I don't know that we've ever seen a president and vice president work together like that at all.
ABC News an hour ago put out fact check. J.D. Vance said that Ukrainian President Zelensky has never thanked President Trump for his support, but that is not true. As late as last week, Zelensky thanked him for his support, even after Trump called him a dictator. Check the tape. J.D. Vance said, today, in this room, have you even said thank you?
Yeah, that's a fact.
J.D. Vance said, I'm talking about right now, you've come into this room with this attitude, and it's ungrateful? Fact check.
That's why nobody trusts fact checkers. They're so stupid.
Yes. Yeah. I couldn't say it better.
You're stupid.
Actually, I can say it better. Say it like that.
No, that's just...
You're stupid.
You're just saying it like I said it, though.
It's stupid with two O's instead of a U.
They are dumb. And it's so obvious.
Dumb.
You couldn't watch that and not pick that up.
Ethan's got a next question here. Who is your first celebrity crush? Why are you shifting like that?
I'm going to go deep here because I saw that question. I was like, shoot, there's a weird one. The earliest one I can think of. Actually, okay, no, one before that. Alex Mack. Remember that show on Nickelodeon? I don't remember the girl's name, but she was cute.
Oh.
When I was preteen. She had a weird name. Real long name.
Is that it?
you're reading something.
I'm trying to get the information on the internet while you guys talk.
The Secret World of Alex Mack is the name of the show. Her name was Larissa Olenek. Wonder whatever happened to her.
Yeah, no kidding.
She still exists. Interesting. She's a person. 43 years old. She's the exact same age as me. So that's probably why I had a crush on her. Right at that age.
There's also Javon Alexander Mack. He is a football player for the Falcons.
I didn't have a crush on him.
I have to go way, 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 way back to whenever I was little. And it's Full House, and it was Jodie Sweetin. I had a big crush.
The middle
crush.
One?
Yes, I had
a big
crush on her.
Didn't think anyone liked her.
No, she was the cute one.
Mm-hmm. The middle one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Annie.
How rude.
Nah, not that one. That was the youngest one. That was the twins.
I didn't think it was.
Yeah.
Was,
how rude was
Michelle? I don't think it was.
You know
it
what?
Was
maybe
Stephanie.
They both said it. Because I remember Michelle saying it. But maybe Stephanie said it too.
I can see her going, how rude, and sticking her chin
when
out.
When she was really like, little?
I don't know. When did you have a crush on her?
I don't know,
week?
Brad.
When did you have a crush on her, Ryan?
I think she's the same age as me, too.
Let's see here. So Jonathan Taylor Thomas, posters on my wall.
Yep.
Talked about that. He was Randy. What a weird name to give a kid in Home Improvement. It was like to tamp down his attractiveness. Let's call him, I don't know what he got. Randy? That'll work.
There's a bunch of Randys right now going, hey.
Yeah, no, what's the deal with that?
There aren't a bunch of Randys.
And there are.
I'm talking about a 10-year-old child on a very popular sitcom. Find me another Randy.
We're going to open up the phone lines to any Randy.
We're only taking Randys today. But even before that, I think I'd have to go look at the show run time, the years that Home Improvement was on. The kid from Free Willy.
Oh. You liked that kid?
Heck yeah, I did. Way cuter than Stephanie. How rude.
Oh, gosh.
So mean. She's mean.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did Stephanie ever do to you?
Nothing. I just wasn't attracted to her.
She just walked around being cute.
Yeah, but you're mad that somebody else was.
Not really.
Here's a really deep cut, too.
I just want to say, I just Googled how rude, and it's just pictures of Stephanie. Maybe you don't know her like you thought you did, Ryan.
Now I gotta find this. Mary,
fantastic
Kate, and Ashley.
Who says the phrase, how rude? Stephanie Tanner.
Mm-hmm.
Hug It Out is Danny Tanner. No Way Jose is Michelle Tanner. And Oh My Lanta is DJ Tanner. There you have it. Next
How
question.
How rude. It's got Michelle up here, too. So they did both say it.
It's Stephanie's phrase.
Well,
if Michelle said it, it was ironically
she was saying
because
it was of Stephanie.
Stephanie's.
Well, she did say it.
That will be, I'm sure that in her lifetime she has said how
rude. On the show. On the show.
Yes,
I got
it's
the
not her phrase, though. It's not Michelle's phrase. Do you have another question? Either you have another question?
Yeah. This is really weird, though. What's your favorite layer of the earth? Mine's the crust. You?
Center.
I'm a big fan of the crust.
Yeah, me too. I spend the most time there. I know the most about it.
Chris wants to know what your dream car is on YouTube.
Ooh.
My dream car is probably a Ford Mustang still. It's always been. But right now, I'd really like to drive a Jeep Wagoneer. It's just not in the cards.
I'd say probably the Ghostbusters car.
Okay. It's your dreams.
I really like James Bond's Aston Martin. That's my dream car. That old, like, 1965 DB5 or something like that. Love it.
Kate wants to know, if you had to travel to 100 years ago to live, what's the one thing you would take with you?
Giant pallets of old cash.
Why would it be old?
Because you couldn't have modern cash. They'd be too suspicious.
Yeah, they wouldn't. Nothing else about you would be suspicious.
They'd be like, wait a minute. That guy has future cash.
100 years ago would be 2025.
1925
cash. And old coins, too. I think I could probably find
pennies?
Some of those. Yeah, whatever.
Just collect
just
people's pennies.
Tons of it. Yeah. And then live on the lamb. I don't think that's the phrase.
No, I think that's crime. What about you?
I think I would take back a history book because that's right near the crash of 1929, so I could figure out which stocks that they crashed on so that I could make the biggest bump and then sell before the crash actually crashed.
I'd take a sweet gun. We'll be right back.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show Early Wedge on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.